This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Just dial 555-CREEP. This week on the podcast, R.L. Stein's Goosebumps.
Call it all creeps.
Everybody, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses why Pulp Fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Cato.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And this week on the podcast, we're discussing R.L. Stein's Goosebumps entry, Calling All Creeps. And we're with very revered special guest, Stephen Ray Morris, podcast producer of My Favorite Murder and Percast at Percast on Twitter. Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Well, thank you so much for reading a book.
I mean, you can already tell I got in deep when I bought 4 instead of just the one that that was supposed to, like, it's like, oh, well, cool. This will be my excuse to dive back into Goosebumps because I was mentioning that I was obsessed with these books as a kid. And then it was like 3 for $1. They're all only $3. All right. I'll just.
Yeah.
So we'll see if I end up actually reading them instead of just like keeping them as like hipster centerpieces or like
just frame them
or like on a coffee table, just like a stack of Goosebumps and Animorphs and
god then you would be like Button Mash.
You're right.
You get your check inside of a like Point Horror or Fear Street or any other type of like pulpy paperback book there.
But
they're
a 90s themed barcade.
Very good food. Same people that did Starry Kitchen a couple years ago.
Where is Button Mash?
Echo Park.
Echo Park on Sunset Boulevard.
Yes, this sounds familiar.
Oh, it's by the other El Compadre.
Oh.
Because there's multiple El Compadres.
For those of you who are wondering about our Los Compadres talk, Lindsay and I were...
El Compadre.
Well, Los Compadres because there are multiple El Compadres.
Okay. Fair.
All right, so you heard our first fight.
Wow. Talk about this more when the children aren't around, Kelly.
Okay. Lindsay and I were at El Compadre earlier today, and we had margaritas
because the plan was to talk about the first time that we got drunk as either teenagers or college students. And so we're like, let's meet at El Compadre and we'll have a couple margaritas, then we'll come straight here and we'll record our mini-sode for our Patreon. And then it was time to record with you, Stephen. And so we're like, I guess that'll come after.
Yeah, we were at like 20 minutes before we were supposed to record. And we were like, I want another one.
I want to finish this.
I mean, El Compadre's margaritas are just really easy to drink. And they're on fire on top. So why wouldn't you want to have one?
Yes, exactly. I had the purple Cadillac margarita. Very good.
Oh, wow.
Subtle sweetness.
I was craving that like specific like fake syrupy strawberry flavor. And I got the strawberry margarita, and it delivered. I was in syrup heaven. I was like, oh, damn, this tastes like nasty, but I like it. So I was like, I was a happy girl.
El Compadre, if you're nasty.
Yeah. But back to the matter at hand, we are talking R.L. Stein's Goosebumps, Calling All Creeps. Yes, we did. I chose it because I like the name.
Yeah, welcome to our second Goosebumps Wednesday. Goosebumps Wednesday.
Nice.
I got to get that social media plug in.
Before we get to the book, Stephen, so you said that you
I was
Goosebumps as a kid.
I was obsessed.
Was that your entry?
My entry with
the, to YA Pulp Fiction.
Oh, was yeah, it yeah, your yeah, yeah.
First penetration.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about your. No.
We're talking about
experience.
Losing your virginity, y'all. Yeah.
At 5 years old. Oh no. No, it was the first. Yeah, it was definitely that. It was the first books I ever read. Actually, it was the first books I ever read on my own as like a 5 year old. And I used to.
Mine was Morris the Moose Goes to School.
I mean, I like Morris, but that's just because that's also my last name. But yeah, they were the first books I ever read. And I used to just like I was very compulsive, and I like because my dad would buy me a new one every time I'd go visit him up in Pasadena, Abominable Snowman, which I probably like like when that book came out, I was like, it's about where my dad lives. but I used to carry around probably like up to 50 of these. Like every week, I would add it to the. I felt the need to carry them all with me, so I had a Goosebumps backpack that was filled with Goosebump books, and when I would go to daycare. I don't even know what they probably thought of me. It's like,
that's very
why
adorable.
Does he need to bring them all? He's not going to read them all in one day. Like, I was afraid. I don't know.
Wow. I was kind of that way about books too.
Like possessive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember like, we would like pack for trips or whatever. And I'd be like, well, I have to like bring my books. And I would like pack a, like most of my bag would be books. And my parents would be like, and they're all like hardcover for some reason. And my parents were like, what are you doing? Like, why do you need all these? And I was like, I don't know. I might like read them all in the back of the Windstar. So it was like, and get like real car sick. Cause that's, was me. Windstar. Shout out to Ford Windstars. But yeah, it was like a weird, like needing to have them.
Yeah. They were
you.
That was my thing. It was like, cause Goosebumps was probably my first obsession. Well, that and Ninja Turtles before like Jurassic Park took over the rest of my life. But like, yeah, like, which is, yeah, I don't know why they were like, every weekend I would just like get in every other weekend, however your divorced parent, you know, however the divorced parent like system works out. I feel like in the 90s, it was like every other weekend.
I was in two different states.
Oh, interesting.
Kid. So it was like 3 months in the summer, 2 weekends during the year.
Yeah. Everyone has like a different. And so, yeah, I would get a new Goosebumps book like because they would churn this stuff out so quickly.
Yeah, it was like well, and if you even look at the back of these books. Oh, maybe we can find your backpack in here, Stephen.
Yeah. As part of the fan club and everything.
Yeah.
I had that fan club.
Unbelievable deals. But like in the back, you could like you would see that these books were coming out like monthly. Like it was like you would finish reading one and these things worked. Because I remember like coming to the back of this and being like, well, I got to read more books.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I actually don't remember reading this book until we read it. That says Shut Your Mouth.
I was about to say, I was like, we have to get to what's in the back of my book because I have a little bit of a newer copy. Mine does not list Goosebumps books. What it does list is, it says Terror Times Three, Three Terrifying Tales from the Midnight Library. And the title is Shut Your Mouth.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like a creepy Victorian doll.
Hell yeah.
Oh. And it just straight up says, shut your mouth. And it says, Louise learns that too many trips to the candy store may be bad for her health. No,
I'm guessing a sticky candy makes her mouth stay shut. That's my
like a haunted taffy.
Yeah, haunted saltwater taffy.
Another story. Greg and Sam press their luck with a roll of some dice that seem to have a mind of their own. That's the second story.
Wait, what is it? Is it
they?
Oh, press their luck with a roll of the dice.
Press their luck with a roll of the
dice. Like haunted Yahtzee.
And the dice. Is haunted.
Cool.
Like the taffy. So haunted taffy.
Haunted dice.
What if, what if it's like a spirit that just haunts like awkward inanimate objects?
Yeah, and like really
like a retainer. They're like, your Invisalign retainer. It's haunted.
Oh, no.
Oh my God.
I'd be screwed because I still wear mine every night.
I have my clear retainers post jaw surgery. But this last one says, Rory and April are excited about their family's new car until they discover they'd be better off walking.
All right.
Okay.
I mean, like, it's like a jalopy-ish car.
I mean, the title, Shut Your Mouth.
Why? Shut Your Mouth.
It's so aggressive.
That's the candy one, but that's very funny.
It is very funny. Well, should I read the back of this book?
I guess.
All right. Here we go.
If you want to do the podcast.
If we want to do what we're here to do.
I was talking to Stephen, but whatever.
We were having like a moment, but like, fine. Reach out and scare someone. Ricky Beamer is furious when he gets kicked off the school paper. So he decides to play a joke on Tasha, the bossy editor-in-chief. Just a little joke. Harmless, really. After school one day, he sticks a message in the paper. If you're a creep, call Tosh after midnight, it reads. But somehow, Ricky's message gets messed up, and now he's getting strange call. Wait, what? Wait, and now he's getting calls. Strange calls from kids who say they are creeps. Creeps with scaly purple skin and long, sharp fangs.
That's exactly how I read that whole book in that voice.
The whole book? I was reading a lot of this book as like a kid detective. Because he's like, there was one part where he's like talking about his parents watching the Weather Channel.
But enough about the weather. That's the one quote I wrote down.
I took that picture where it was like, well, enough talk about the weather. Anyway, I'm in sixth grade and sixth graders are the worst. And I was like, oh man, this kid's a bummer.
Yeah.
I hadn't bothered to zip up my parka. The wind blew it behind me as I jogged across the street and past the small houses on the next block. The air felt cold against my warm cheeks and wet as if it might snow again. Hey, enough about the weather. Ricky Beamer, that's me.
Yeah, it's very screech. Like,
yes. I was like picturing like he's wearing a backpack and he's got like the hat with like the whirly thing on top. And he's like, tonight I plan to do a little spying and then a little nasty mischief. Like it was very like, nasty I was like, man, mischief. This kid is like.
I mean, I don't know if you watched the episode that they they did a Goosebumps TV show of this episode. And to me, I feel like we're all on the same page of the vibe of this kid. And then they made the TV show. I was like, that's not what Ricky Beamer looks like. They went more like not Napoleon Dynamite's brother. Like more like with the baby serial killer like vibe with like the like really pencil like it looked like he had a pencil thin mustache. He didn't obviously because he's too young, but like very like greased back hair with like big pedophile like Jeffrey Dahmer glasses. And I'm like, I feel like that's too on the nose.
It is too on the nose. And the thing is too, which
not that we can't not accuse Goosebumps of being on the nose because that's all it is. But
I mean, credit to RL. As I was reading this book, I was like, I was like, why are, like, everyone is so mean to a point where they are Dickensian grotesques. Like, they are so fucking mean.
I will say, like, I really thought this book was going to start, like, when it began, I was like, oh no, the main character of this book is an internet troll.
That's what I thought too.
Fuck.
And I thought he was misogynist.
By like two chapters in, I was like, no, the main character is Carrie, and I hope everybody dies.
Yes. The main character is very Carrie.
Everybody's so fucking mean to Ricky. It is really awful. I was so upset for this child.
It does turn because I think there's at some point where I'm also like, Ricky, get your shit together.
Yeah.
When he gets the camera, I was like, don't take the camera. You know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Or, like, stay far away. Or, like, when it's your four enemies, quote unquote.
Oh, my God, his four enemies.
You just, like, back the fuck up. He keeps calling these four kids.
Yeah.
He's like, it was my four enemies.
Well, then I was confused by that, too, because then it was, I think, later when it's revealed, I mean, if we're going to jump ahead to spoil a little bit. That
yeah, we kind of jump all over the place.
That they're, like, creeps, like... Then did he mention something about like they're new, that they were new? So are these new enemies?
Like that was the weird thing. After.
The only time we learned that they were new was when they were like, well, you just showed up a couple days before we did. And I was like, wait, what? So I thought they were four of them are new?
It sounded like and then kindergarten, like they've been tormenting this kid since
forever.
Yeah, I thought that was, this but is like a weird, like a, you know, not parasitic, but like this weird like ecosystem where they like thrive off each other, you know?
Oh, symbiotic.
Yeah, symbiotic.
Yeah, they had this like symbiotic relationship where, well, and that was the other thing too, where I was like, there was this one part that like reminded me of like a note that you get like in an improv scene, which is like, okay, explain to us why you're not leaving. Because he's like, I'm on the newspaper and like, where everyone's so mean to me on the newspaper, but I need those activity points. And I was like, oh, okay, that's why he's there.
Yeah.
Like RL took like UCB 101 and like knows how to like justify why these people are sticking around.
I found the part where he, so real quick, I'll say just like a larger version of what the book is about. So this kid, Ricky
Beamer.
Beamer?
Okay. Sicky Ricky.
Sicky Ricky, rodent Ricky.
Ricky the rat. He's this just like bullied kid at school who gets just shit on by the editor of his school newspaper, Tasha. So to get back at her, he tries to plant a little message at the bottom of the front page by sneaking in at night, and he puts, if you're a creep, call Tasha. He gives her phone number, but then she catches it and she changes it to, if you're a creep, call Ricky, and then his phone number. And these four creeps who were his biggest bullies start calling him, and it turns out they're quote unquote creeps, which is an alien race that just arrived on this planet. And they're like, quick, we have to plant the identity seeds so we can turn everybody else into creeps. And he's like, yeah, I'll get right on that. And he's trying to figure out ways not to do it.
Oh, important note. They look like chocolate chips.
They look like chocolate chips.
Let everyone know. They look like chocolate chips. They smell sour.
They're probably like carob chips.
And dark chocolate.
Yeah, they're like some 90% like really sour dark chocolate chip. And eventually, like at the last second at the bake sale, he's like really trying to prevent them from doing it. They put them in these cookies and he's like, don't anybody eat them. But then people start throwing treats at him to the point where he's being bullied. And the four creeps are like, why are you doing this? If everybody turned into a creep, they would be your slave because they think he's the commander because of the message that was in the paper. And he's like, good point. And he lets them all turn into creeps, and he turns into a creep so that he can be their master. That's the book.
Which I read on the trivia is that this is the first Goosebumps book to let the bad guys win.
Interesting.
Oh. The first one, I think.
I don't remember like looking at this cover. I remembered seeing the cover, but I didn't remember reading it as a kid. But like as I was reading it, I was like, oh, I think yeah, I did too. Read this. And I remember the ending sticking with me and being like, what?
It's very Twilight Zone.
It is so Twilight Zone.
Here's the thing, though, is I was like, I hope this wasn't post Columbine.
Oh, 96. Yeah.
Were you guys 96. Thinking
96?
Yeah, and well, his like 99.
His like weird like I'm a white male that has been rejected a lot, and so now I'm going to exact my revenge and make everybody my slave, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. So I was like okay, because it is very like again. So we covered Carrie for one of our Patreon episodes. Because we do a one full length episode a month where somebody can choose.
Oh, nice!
Like an outside of our outside normal of genre.
Oh, yeah. Cool!
And then we read it.
I was so
it.
Happy they chose Carrie because it's like one of my. It's amazing. It's very love good. That book.
So they chose Carrie, and like we were like, yeah, fucking kill them all, Carrie.
But then we were like, let's just lay down. Yeah. We're not for like mass. Like violence,
school shooting.
This is like in a fiction world. So sure, in the world of whatever Goosebumps city they live in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why when I just was like watching a bit of the actual TV show episode to make him kind of look like a Jeffrey Dahmer type in the TV show version, I was like, this feels, in this, it didn't feel as weird because just the image of the kid was different. But yeah, in the TV show, they really lay it on thick. Like, I feel like they almost like, wanted to, I mean, I doubt that their producers were like trying to create allusions or anything to Columbine if it had, because I think that had already happened by the time the Goosebumps TV show came out. But like, yeah, I got that more internet troll vibe from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just reading the summary, I was like, well, first of all, it's like play a joke on Tasha, the bossy editor in chief. I was like, yo, is he a misogynist? Because I was like, what is like, and even throughout the book, like the fact that he focuses on Tasha so much mm-hmm. when like, we're like, Tasha sucks. She's mean.
I did not expect her to suck.
She sucked so much.
As hard as she sucked.
She was. I was like, so mean.
You're a capital K cunt.
She's a capital K cunt.
You
capital
suck.
U, capital N, capital T.
Yeah, she, all caps cunt.
All caps cunt. She was like intensely a cunt. But I would say like there's like another level of like responsible parties here. It's like those four terrible people. And the fact that he like immediately is like, well, I got to exact revenge on Tasha. When it's like, okay, everyone at your school sucks.
Yeah.
Everybody at your school is really mean. But like there's aggressively like four people that are being like the meanest and you're overlooking them for this like one person.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, so I guess because she was in charge of his points,
his activity points.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair too, if somebody had done that to me, like if I was like, you know, editing a podcast and somebody dropped their Sprite. I don't know why Sprite was the first thing that came
I know. What was like, it he had here?
Pepsi. Oh, take my Pepsi. I feel like I sympathize for Tasha in that moment because it's just like, that's where I sympathize as somebody where it's like, she's just trying to get her shit done and this guy just happens to just fuck up every single time. It's like, at some point you just want to cut somebody like that, just like a troubled person out of your life. But then that's where the like, illusions of like, are we letting this kid fall into the system? And then you like get into all that stuff.
Are we letting him?
Like nobody showed concern for him. Exactly. Nobody looked out for him. His parents mocked him.
Not oh my God. They didn't even
fucking point.
His parents were so stupid. Like they were like, oh, can you tell your friends to stop calling you in the middle of the night? And like any normal parent would be like, look at your son. He does not have friends.
Yeah.
Like you know, your son doesn't have friends. You should be like, hey, is everything okay? Like, if you say, hey, who was that? And your kid's like, I don't know, it's just like my friend like playing a joke. Hopefully you're like hip to what kids do. And you're like, oh, my kid's being like fucked with.
Also, if they outright say that they know he has bullying problems.
Yeah, they are aware of this. But I also feel like it is relatable as a kid. I feel like my parents would, you do get teased. I felt like my parents teased me, or I'd see my friend's parents get teased, or my friends get teased by their parents when I would hang over. So that part felt relatable, but it's just interesting because it's the only scene that the parents have in the whole book.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're the most present parents we've come across in Goosebumps. Most of the other parents are like,
in the Goosebumps book, he was very present. But in most of the books we read, that is not the case.
Yeah,
the
they're mostly...
they were out of town that weekend.
Well, it's almost like with this genre, it's like if the parents are there, then it makes it almost more realistic for things to, like, it allows for adventures to happen if the parents aren't around. Almost.
Yeah, because otherwise you're like, where the fuck were parents?
I kept thinking of Saved by the Bell for some reason the whole time I was reading this book. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but like, just very like
they, well, they all had experiences where it's like parents around this would not have happened.
No. Yeah.
It's like, is anybody asking Zach Morris why he can stop time?
Yeah.
Nobody ever asked that because they don't know. Where did he get this ability? Does he have an origin story? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like he stops time to tell. And then all of a sudden his like mom knocks on the door and he's like, Mom, I thought I stopped all time.
I was like, doing a direct address.
Because they passed that talent on to
him. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm going to read the part where he first introduces the creeps because he does not say that they are new. So as soon as I entered, I saw my four enemies at their usual table in the middle of the room. I call them my four enemies because they're my four enemies.
Okay.
Their names are Jared, David, Brenda, and Wart. Wart's name is really Richard Wartman, but everyone calls him Wart, even the teachers. These four seventh graders are always making fun of me. When they're not making fun of me, they're trying to injure me. Oh my God.
It's horrifying.
Yikes.
And now time for a quick break.
Did, when you were in school, was there ever that kind of hierarchy, like amongst the grades in that kind of way where like eighth grade, you know, Tasha's an eighth grader and she and eighth graders hate sixth graders?
We didn't have enough like interaction with different grades for that to happen. Cause I remember, well, I was just like always at the bottom of the totem pole, just always. So like I didn't, like everyone was always above me. So I like never was like, oh, well, the eighth graders hate sixth graders. Like, I was just like, oh, there's cool kids and there's not cool kids.
Yes.
And the cool kids are mean to the not cool kids, but never as mean. Like, this book, I was like, it is
extreme.
Crazy how mean they are to him.
At my school, it was like, when I was a seventh grader, so my elementary school went till sixth grade, and then my junior high was 7 through 9, and then my high school was 10 through 12.
Oh, you had the 7 through 9 action.
Yeah.
I did.
So
the,
it was like
6, 8
junior high, not
mine was
school.
7, 8.
What?
Yeah. So just
Whoa.
Seventh and eighth grade were one.
What?
We're just one separate school.
What a waste. What a space.
Right?
It's very small.
That's why it's such an awkward time period because it's like we're here for 2 years and then what? Like,
yeah.
Oh, are you from Irvine?
I'm from Anaheim, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
9 for 9.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I went to UCI.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I grew up more like in like North Orange County, kind of.
Gotcha.
Cool. East, North, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, I never felt like, it always was like within the grade, you know, within your class, there was these kind of like, the structure's cool and not
groups.
Cool, all that stuff. But I never felt like in... Like, even, like, in fourth grade, I wasn't like, oh, sixth graders, you know? Like, it was just, like, they're doing their own, they've got their own struggles.
It was like, oh, sixth, it was, like, inherently the older grades were just cooler, but there was very little interaction. So it wasn't, like, a bullying situation.
Yeah.
Except I was telling Kelly earlier how there was just this one older girl who did not like me. I didn't really get bullied, but she was older than me. Her name was Christina, like, Torsellini.
Did you look her up on
just,
Facebook?
No, Facebook? I just...
She sounds cool and pretty.
She was from what you tell me. Cool and very pretty. But it was just this one girl who was mean to me. Nobody else was mean to me. But she was a sixth grader, so it wasn't like...
Do you have siblings?
One, and she's younger. She's 3 years younger.
I was thinking maybe, like, that woman had a beef with your, like, older sibling and took it out on you or something.
I really do not know what it was. So it wasn't like all sixth graders pick on the younger grades, all ninth graders pick up, blah, blah, blah. It was just, they were, why would they even be talking to us? They were too cool. That was what the situation was.
I also remember, like, going from, because we were 6 to 8 and then 9 to 12. For grades. And I remember going from 6th to 7th grade. I remember this like feeling of relief where I was like, oh, I'm not a sixth grader anymore. I'm like older. I do remember like feeling that, but not like, well, now I'll get to bully the sixth graders. Like it was never there. It wasn't, it was very like internalized in me where I was like, oh, okay, now I'm not going to be the like stupid sixth grader anymore.
Yeah.
So it is interesting.
Yeah. If Ricky had survived and, or, you know, he had just stayed in the human world, you know, before the post-apocalyptic lizard world that we're in at the end of this book.
That he will then rule.
Yeah, yeah. If he just was like normal, do you, like, would he, like, he almost seems like somebody that would bully sixth graders when he's in 8th grade.
He you know, absolutely
taking,
would.
Taking it out on, like, you know, because, like, I feel like that kind of abuse scent tends to, like,
I don't
repeat itself.
I might disagree with that, but not for sure.
Yeah.
Only because, like, he makes such good friends with Iris, and he is so, it made me really sad how hungry he was for Iris's kindness.
Oh,
wasn't that sad?
That was very relatable.
Yeah, and especially relatable. When he said, he like oh, she's
lifeline.
New. Yeah. He was like, oh, that's great that she's new.
She was very nice to him.
And she was kind of cute.
Yeah, she was kind of cute with a round face and blue eyes.
Well, because I was listening to another episode of your guys' a couple days ago, and how you're talking about the descriptions of the women in these books and stuff, mm-hmm. and how they're like, they some he's are like these authors tend to. I forget if it was a Christopher Pike one or if it was no, it was Eternal Enemy.
That's Christopher Pike.
Christopher Pike. Yeah, and just like how they
the
feel
chubby
that
best friend
they need to like inject opinion into a description of somebody.
Yeah. Yes, and it is interesting because yes, in this book, it's not just like this. Everything that happens in this book, I was noticing is through the lens of this character and not even like just this character relating whatever's happening. It's like, I'm going to tell you what I think about everything that's happening in this book, every person we encounter. And I think that's something pretty unique to, weirdly, his Goosebumps style. And Christopher Pike, but not necessarily Fear Street. I remember seeing it less in Fear Street.
Which I think is why
you're right.
Which is why we probably read it in this like, whoa, you know, like voice. Because there's that layer of like kind of cheeky childhood jokester kind of.
I have the paragraph where he introduces Iris. I took a few seconds from my furious scribbling to check out the new girl. Kind of cute, I thought. She had a round face with big blue eyes and short blonde hair parted in the middle. She wore long red plastic earrings that jangled when she moved her head. And then he gets a sign to show her around. But it does seem like more and more he keeps liking her. Because there's this part, she thought that was pretty funny. I liked the way her earrings jangled when she laughed. Oh. Like, it's very
That's
endearing.
Very cute, actually.
It is
very
really
cute. So, like, the more he gets to know her, he's like, oh, I liked this little facet, or I liked this little detail of her personality. I like Ricky, and I'm like, aww. Yeah, turn them all to creeps, fucking assholes.
Well, I got this, like, weird, and maybe it's just because of the, like, constant address to us as a reader, but it was, like, such a, like, noir-y feeling to it, because he's constantly, like, narrating in, like, a VO type of feel over the action of whatever's happening, and it's just, like, I turned and slunk to the door, and guess who was standing there? Guess who had watched the whole ugly scene?
Oh, yeah.
You're right. Iris, her first day of school, and she already knew what a loser I was. So So it's very like, oh my God, it's
that's
like
so like, yeah.
It's so like he's in like this
noir.
Room with like the
it's
like
junior
blinds.
High noir.
Yeah. Like this book is so noir. I didn't realize that until I was like trying to figure out why he's addressing us so much.
It's always when we're reading it aloud that you go, yeah, this is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. It's because this is so pulpy. It's him being very like, well, let me tell you this. My parents couldn't stop talking about the weather. And it's like very like him being so like coy.
Which is why I almost wish that there had been, I almost wanted a couple more pages to the twist.
Me
you
too.
Know?
I to wish, see it pan out.
Or even when he drops the seeds. Like I wanted to soak that up more a little bit as well. Because he's like, he drops sheet. It and then, yeah. Well, he like, but he drops the first seed, like he drops the first bag.
Pretends to trip.
Yeah, pretends to trip. And then it's like, then they're like, nope, it's fine. Like I almost wanted them to like an, I wanted another beat there to like soak that up.
Yeah, because it was pretty instantly like resolved.
Yeah, they're like, here's a new bag.
Yeah, and they kept everything he did there was like, here's a new bag. We've got infinite bags. Stop trying. We have so many bags.
They're like so concerned with the seeds expiring, but it's like, we've got an unlimited number of bags.
Also, where so, is like, the real commander?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Where is the real commander?
What if the commander's Tasha?
Oh my God. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, and she can't blow her cover because she's the school newspaper. So she's like, I still got to do my thing and I'll like make it so this other person is the instigator for this whole stuff so then she can maintain her reputation in the human world. And then when she be, you know. And
I was going to say, that's a pretty big risk considering she's like, so my alien race is called the Creeps. I'm going to go ahead and tell him to call Ricky.
Yeah.
Well, that was another weird, like,
but yeah, where's
coincidence.
The fucking commander?
Yeah.
Well, I really thought it was Iris. When
me
she
too.
I kind of almost,
I was like,
yeah.
I wanted it to be her.
Yeah. That would have been a really cool if, yeah, she actually turned out to be and that he, like, loved her so much or, like, was falling for her that, like, he
and,
was
like,
you know what? I am
going
to dump this, like.
Yeah.
I think that's much more compelling, too, to be, like, this human connection that I have with this one person. I'll become a creep and turn everybody into creeps so that way I can, like.
Be with her.
Then Lizard instead of love. Being like, yeah, for that sweet tongue high fives.
I call it 555 lizard love.
Lizard love. Also, okay, so is it just a huge coincidence? Because we all know what like vampires are, right? We all know
I've
what
heard of them, yes.
Werewolves are.
Mm-hmm.
If I say to you, creeps.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I think molesty dude.
Great.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Great. The fact that, like, he comes up with this prank for things called creeps to call Tasha
but
turns out there is an...
people call him a creep.
So is
so
it...
it's even more complicated. Yeah.
Yeah, so then it's like people happen to be calling him a creep. He then wants to prank this girl to tell creeps to call Tasha. Turns out there also is, like, this alien race called creeps. And then so
yeah,
they,
it
like,
all sounds a little too convenient.
Listen, it's a little fishy. I'm just saying.
A children's book being too convenient?
I'm going to say this, Goosebumps. It seems a little convenient that for your 80-page story.
It's contrived.
Well, it's, you know, it's very 90s to cut. You creep.
Yeah. That seems creep like was such a 90s.
Yeah.
And I mean.
Oh my God, there are not page numbers.
It was like, I remember looking at how many pages there were.
Oh, wait.
116. That's how many pages there are. So I remember, like, because when I was reading through this.
Wait, are there no pages at all in yours?
There are.
Look, page numbers are intimidating.
And then it just stops. They're just stopped being page numbers.
You're just reading it forever, just like, when is this book going to end?
This is a Goosebumps
story. The page number
story.
Stop.
Like, you don't have any page. Because you're reading
the book
preview.
At the end of the stream.
I was looking at the preview.
Wait, what's the preview for your book?
My best friend is invisible.
Oh, mine is Beware the Snowman.
Oh.
Hmm. What's yours,
Steven?
I think it's the same one as yours.
Beware the Snowman.
Unless, wow, they included a lot of free chapters.
That's I'm so confused.
Yeah.
So
did you also have the possibility for trading cards inside?
I did, and I was legitimately bummed.
Me
because
too!
Because I actually, like, loved... Oh, wow, you actually have the thing ripped out. See, I didn't even get the evidence that there was, other than the thing on the thing, but I love trading cards, so I was actually legitimately excited, and then I was like, nope, I paid $3. Of course I'm not going to get the trading card for this.
That's like a $57.
Has an ad for graphic novels.
Whoa.
What?
Goosebumps graphic novels.
Yeah, you have the, like, I feel like you have the, like, actually, this is a little off topic, but there was the 10-year or, like, the 20-year anniversary of Animorphs, and they started to re-release all the books with, like, new covers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it only sold well enough that they only did it for, like, the first two or three.
Oh,
and
that's
then
they were
like, nobody likes them.
You know what? I probably would have bought them.
Well, and then they also did, they updated it with, like, modern references and shit, too.
They do that for a lot of these books.
Oh, that's right. I listened to, was it the Aaron Whitehead episode?
Yeah.
No.
Because that was in the attic. Flowers in the attic.
What was the first episode? Go Ask Alice had some. Or did it?
No, it didn't.
Maybe it was Jackie Johnson's episode.
New Girl definitely had some.
Yes.
That definitely did.
But like, wasn't in that case, like, some things were updated, but some stuff wasn't?
Yes.
And then there was one book where they kept, like, a reference to a 1970s baseball player.
Yeah, it was like 1984 is the year he stopped being.
You know
relevant.
What it probably was? The person that was tasked with updating it was like, I don't even know who this is. I cannot come up with a modern day reference. Maybe. I'm just gonna leave it.
Yeah, it was referencing some very like straight laced, like non drinking baseball player that like nobody had talked about since 1984.
They probably just like, I feel like they just pay enough for like a first pass for that kind of thing. They're like, look, as long as you get most of them, you hit most of them, you leave a out-of-date baseball player, but nobody's going to know who it is who's reading this book, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no one cares.
Wait, so for the new Animorphs, they had updated references
for what I read on Wikipedia.
Oh, my God.
Because I was like, oh, it's the anniversary. Maybe I'll, like, I don't know, buy them again or just read the Wikipedia page for all of them again, you know?
I remember being so – I was, like, very intensely obsessed with Animorphs, and I remember – I had a really big crush on Tobias, even though he was stuck as a hawk. So I was like, oh my God, but like what he could be as a human.
I have a crush on his spirit.
Yeah, I was like, oh my, his spirit is
so Oh my
so
God,
lovely.
That's how pure our love is.
Because he stays as a hawk for too long and then you get stuck.
I remember you and Katie Plattner talking about this on the Wicked
Heart. Yeah, he was hot. And I was like, damn, I wish I could like get
fuck
with Tobias.
Hawk.
I want to fuck that hawk. And then
that hawk is very fuckable.
He's a fuckable hawk. He's so
hashtag
sensitive.
But yeah, he
hawk.
Was like lonely and just he'd like be roosting like on a tree and he'd be like, ugh, like my life and like who's my real father and like all this stuff.
He was so angsty. He was like Cole Sprouse, but a hawk.
Roosting on a tree.
And he was like bummed because he was a hawk all the time.
And he felt bad about like killing things, but then he would describe like floating above the field and seeing the rabbit and like knowing that it had like baby rabbits and then, like all this stuff. Oh my
but a
God.
Hawk's gotta eat.
Yeah.
So he had to do it. And
that's
I remember
a very complicated moral.
Yeah, Animorphs is line. Fucked. Yeah.
It was I remember I like kind of checked out when someone turned into a starfish and I was like, why?
Yeah, there's that
I was like, why? Like why a starfish?
What, he turned into a butthole? I don't think so.
Well, how we're talking about with the, like, even with this book, like, all the age group thing of, like, because I think for me that was so 7th and 8th grade, but then once I got to high school, it seemed like, okay, now it's time to move on to, like, real books or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm doing air quotes. But, like, you know, so I don't think I ever really finished the series. And then it turned out later when I was, like, I feel like you do that all the time. You, like, Wikipedia something you liked, and then you just read every, like, I learned that Kay Applegate ended up, like, I think the last 10 books or 15 books of hers were all ghostwritten by other
really?
People. So I was like, oh, well, now I don't even want to go finish it.
I don't want to do it.
Do you know
it.
If Arl Stein ghost wrote a lot of these? Or
I don't think he did.
I think he did.
He's one of the few long-running series authors who didn't pass off writing.
Like,
wow.
This dude just churned him out.
He loved it.
Yes. Sweet Valley High, yes.
Yes.
Boxcar Children?
Boxcar Children, for sure.
Okay, oh, yeah. Also, like, Benny
Party
being, like,
Boys,
way too old to
Nancy
not read.
Drew.
Yeah.
I guess Animorphs now.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I wasn't on board for that.
Pure Stein.
Well, it's like the Matt Groening thing, where it's like, she was like, well, I'm making Futurama now, so, because she moved on to, like, a more adult fantasy
series.
She did
Fearless, I remember.
Yeah.
Which I read.
Oh, I didn't, I never, I felt a little, like, betrayed, you know, that she had, like, done a different.
I've seen those books.
I have
that
them
seems
all.
Like a teen creeps.
Yeah, you should do that.
It will ripe, work. It
like,
was. It's
ripe for teen creeps.
Correct.
It seems like really.
It
like,
seems juicy fruit, mature for teen creeps.
It's like
it's kind of old for its age.
Sure, it's a teenager, but it doesn't act like a teenager.
Oh, no. I'm a teacher and.
Teen creeps after hours.
I have
That's
them all.
Why we're called teen creeps
because we're kind of gross. but it would work. It's very like, this girl doesn't feel fear. Mm-hmm. I remember really liking those books.
Yeah.
But I remember being bummed that I couldn't, like, I remember wishing that there was more Animorphs, but then not ever returning to it. It was a weird thing where I was like, I've moved on. I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, I think my last book was, I think Cassie was on the cover. I think it was like 28 or something, which now I'm bummed that I don't have them. Because, I mean, I don't know if, I mean, after rereading this one, Goosebumps, it's not like I need to collect them all, ironically, again.
You gotta catch them all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think there was, I don't remember how many books they went up to.
I saved all my favorite Christopher Pikes.
Oh, so a lot of them are like OG from.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So all of the Vampire
I have a Starlight Crystal at my parents' house.
What else? One of them? I don't remember. Oh, Remember Me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's fun, because then you can look inside your, like, book. And did you find any, like, I looked at an old book in from high school, and I pulled out, like, a hall pass or, like, as a bookmark.
That's cool.
And, like,
that's fun.
Yeah.
I had a really embarrassing,
like, that.
I had one that was a Nancy Drew case files, and it was, like, a model crime. And it's, like, where Nancy has to go undercover to be a model, of course, and figure out who's, like, harassing the other models. And on the inside, I sent it to Lindsay because it is very embarrassing. It's an inside, and I wrote in it, "Hi, is this your book? I don't think so. Return it where you found it, and maybe the person who's looking for it will actually find it." What makes it even worse is that, like, that was never my idea. I saw that in another book that I found, and I was like, that's cool. And then I wrote it in my book.
I mean, it's very clever.
And then I was like, XOXO,
I do not think
Kelly.
You sent that to me.
Maybe I didn't send it to you. It was very embarrassing.
I did, however, find a letter, like an actual written and mailed letter from my childhood best friend, Katie Smith, who was responding to some letter I sent her. And she was like, by the way, I got that Christopher Pike book you recommended. This is 1994, which means I was in the sixth grade. She's like, I found that Christopher Pike book you told me I should read, Die Softly, and it was so disturbing that I had to put it down and I couldn't sleep. And then she's like, okay, I woke up the next day, I looked at it again. That's so gross that a character said she had sex at a McDonald's. I can't believe you read such horrifying books.
Wow.
I really miss you. I can't wait till you visit.
I remember you sending that to me. I loved when she was like, I don't know where you find this kind of stuff. And then I loved, P.S. Are you excited for school to start? Which was so cute.
It was so, so sixth grade.
I feel like the art of letter writing, because I wrote some letters when I lived in London like 7 years ago or 5 years ago. And it was like, I realized I'd lost the art because I was like, if you're responding to somebody, do you respond in order? Like, how do you respond to people in letters?
Yeah.
Like, do you like go from one thing at it? So like, I wonder if your friend was like responding to like three different little mini conversations you were having. But then when you look at it from far away, it feels very like.
Because like almost every letter she wrote was, I'm so sorry it's taken me so long to write you back.
Aw.
And so every letter was like, here's this thing you talked about, this thing you talked about, this thing. And then I'm going to tell you about some things of mine. Mm. And then I can't wait to hear from you. And then I would respond with kind of that same thing. So, yeah, you would always like respond to questions and then talk about new things.
Yeah, I remember that.
So it was, yeah, I found a ton of letters.
Oh, that's cool.
It was so fun. And I was so sad for, so condescending. I was so sad for youth of today. There's no way they're like, Snapchats disappear within 24 hours.
Yeah.
So you can never get those again. And then nobody's printing out their emails.
Yeah.
No. Like, you're not like,
can you
once
imagine?
Technology,
gotta keep them all safe.
Oh my God. You're a psycho.
All my text messages.
Printing out your text messages.
Yeah,
holy shit.
That'd be insane. But so that means when technology moves on, you're not going to have that anymore. Like there are email exchanges with ex-boyfriends that I will just never have.
Yeah.
And I won't remember. I don't remember. Whereas like the very early ones, because the internet was new, I was printing that shit out.
Yeah.
And so that's in a box and I remember what people said to me. But like nobody's.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's going to move on. It's not like CDs. You throw out your mixtapes.
Yeah. I remember practicing my handwriting for written letters. Like, I remember being like, it's going to look good. And I remember I like wrote a letter to my cousin and I had like learned some cool slang. And so I wanted to like put it in the letter. And I was writing like tight, like T-Y-T-E. And then I guess my uncle like read it. And then when I came to visit, he was like, I saw that letter you wrote. Oh, that was pretty. And they're like they lived on a farm in Montana and like they're very practical. And this so they always
souffle à
play. This is not anti-souffle à play entree. This is not her. No. And they were like, and I remember my uncle was like, oh, I mean, I guess you LA people like talk all crazy. And I felt so embarrassed. And I was like, I'm never going to write her a letter again. Aww. And I was like, my uncle's going to see it. And I'd spent like, I bought like different colored like gel pens.
Yeah,
and I like wrote
gel
like,
pen.
I was living that gel pen life. I was living that Milky pen life. So I was
Milky
like,
pens.
Milky pens. I was writing like cool Milky pen shit. And I got made fun
about
of
Milky pens.
And then like
those
glitter pens.
Yeah.
I never had any of that stuff because I write like this, which you can't see on the podcast. Sorry. But I always write with my hand like this. So then I always just have ink. So I could never.
So I do that too. What I would do was take a piece of paper and put it under where my hand was. So
shit.
That I know. And then that way it wouldn't smear because otherwise it would smear all yeah. along here.
The original life hack.
Yeah. And I would get a separate paper and put it under where my hand was. And then the underside of that paper would be all fucked up because it was like catching all the Milky pen.
You could make that art now, like the safety paper.
Yeah.
Those would
yes.
be like compositions, like
yeah.
Someone would buy that on Wayfair and like
yeah,
put
yeah.
it on their wall.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another thing. It's like there, nothing is tangible now, so you can't save it. You can't.
No.
Yeah, there's not gonna be any.
Technology's gonna move on. You're not gonna be like printing out your Facebook post. That, again,
no.
that would be even crazier.
That would be insane if
all
you printed
status.
Out. Your Facebook
of comment
timeline?
Exchanges.
I got an iPhone my senior, the last semester of college.
Wow.
2009. And when I was like, oh, I'll never get Twitter until I have an iPhone. And then I got an iPhone. Yeah. In like April, 2009. And then, so I like started tweeting and stuff. And then I took this like really ridiculous art class that they do at UC Santa Barbara where you do like performance art. It was like a performance art class. It was really silly.
Oh,
but
weird.
Like it was really fun too because you just
studio
gotta like
art.
Yeah, it was just yeah. like, but you would do, you know, I don't know, you would just like, people would go out in the quad and like do things and like, you know, just random stuff. Like, I mean, one year somebody just was like, their art was just to try and fight anybody, like and like one person, one woman was like just sitting out with like suntan lotion and just like seeing if anybody would actually come up and like mm-hmm. put it on her. Or my roommate in college like covered himself, like wore all white like clothes and then just had like a bunch of paints and he was just like, paint me. And then people would just come up. And so people were all doing that kind of stuff. But one of the things I did in the class was like, I had Twitter for a month and I like printed out all my things that I wrote on Twitter. So I printed like, I don't know, like 20, like 100, you know, little, like almost on like ticker tape and just read
yeah.
every single like thing that I wrote. Like, like, tried the hamburgers. Like, I just printed out all my statuses and just read them out loud.
Oh, my God.
For, like, 30 minutes. It was really unsufferable.
yeah.
Yeah. I was not good at that class. I felt like all my art was very selfish at the time. I feel like it was a very big learning moment for me.
But that's, like, oh, God. But that, like, embarrassment.
We had a whole studio art department at my college. I've told this story before how they, like, one of them stole a bike of mine. They just, like, cut the lock off to make an art project with. But my
Whoa.
Friend Noelle, one of her projects one time was just to hoist herself naked up into a net that would like catch a bear naked. And she just stayed there the whole day.
Oh, I love that.
Just
naked. I mean,
I was like, what is the project?
Yeah.
What is the project,
so
Noelle?
So is it like, it was this in a pub, like in the quad or something, like where
yeah.
people would see?
Yeah. She was just hung up in the Cyber A quad.
My favorite was...
We had a cafe called the Cyber A Cafe.
Ooh.
It was the year 2000, you guys.
That tracks.
There was one person who had an umbrella, but then they just made themselves wet, so it was like raining inside the umbrella. I was like, oh, that's
I
cute.
Like
that is
yeah.
cute. And also like a feat of engineering.
Yeah, right?
Cool.
But they would just walk around campus soaking wet. Like they soaked their shoes
oh my God.
And their backpack, like just dunked.
Huh.
It was.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. College.
Yeah.
College.
Very college.
So deep and meaningful.
College, New York.
God, I remember just like searching for meaning in everything in college and being like, I'm deep, like trying to force people to think that I was anything but normal, because like that was the ultimate fear, was to like live and die normal
yeah.
and like not remembered and not worth remembering.
I was just trying to be normal.
I wanted to I wanted people to be like in awe of me.
I certainly wanted that, but I was like, I'm not, I'm just like you guys.
Yeah. I guess it depends on when you watched like American Beauty or something.
Yeah. You know? That was, yeah.
You know,
I watched it when it came out in the theater. So
nice.
So, I don't know.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
I
don't know what that means though.
I mean,
what does that mean, Steven?
Seeing it in theaters, I feel like that was probably more powerful.
I saw it multiple times in the theater.
That
too,
bag, like, that plastic bag was like really big. Wes
Bentley, all about Wes Bentley.
Wait, he's not doing anything now, right?
I don't think so. The last thing I remember him being in is like War and Peace.
He seems like he could be like a Ricky Beamer type. Bring it right back to
bring it back.
Good work, podcast.
Okay, casting the show.
Too attractive.
Yeah, you're right. Well, that was my thing. I feel like he's more of a Screech type in the book. And then they gave him like a baby Jeffrey Dahmer vibe thing in the show.
And I'm wondering, is that because Jeffrey Dahmer?
They're calling him Sticky Ricky and Ricky the Rat. So maybe like that does really evoke a like pencil, like baby mustache, wet hair look.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I really like him with the pinwheel hat that you said.
I'm just picturing, with like a backpack.
Oh, he seems
and
adorable.
He's very like, but at the same time, like when he's saying like I'm used to falling and he's like always being like intensely bullied, like I guess it tracks more in the real world that he's like
brooding
and just like kind of gross to
a little
everyone.
Slimy.
Yeah.
It's like Carrie, where she's like her hair is just like matted down to her face and she's got like an oily, pimply forehead.
Yeah.
And everybody is just like a little bit grossed out by her. And the analogy that the Sue character makes is like, well, it's like when you see a homeless man walking with a little girl who's like snotty and crying and then the homeless man has like a bloody nose or something. Yeah. And they're just walking and you're like, that's not right. But like, you can't, what are you going to do something about it? So you just sort of pretend that you don't see them. So that's kind of...
That sounds like a repressed memory. Is that
kind of...
I mean, it might be for Stephen King.
Like,
it is very like, it's easier to not look at it and to not think about it. And
if you're like outright, you are a little grossed out by the person, it does make you less inclined to be that helping hand.
Well, yeah. So it's interesting that you started to feel sympathy for Ricky.
Yeah, within like a chapter and a half, I was like, "Yeah, fuck them all, Ricky."
Really? Okay, so
it took
cynical.
Me a little while. Yeah, it took me a little while. Yeah,
I was like, really? Everybody fucking bullies you this much? Like, what? Like, there's got to be something wrong with you. Like, what's going on? Because, and I'm speaking as someone who like was bullied.
Yeah,
was...
I really thought it was like a 4chan nice guy situation where it's like,
that's what I thought.
You're a fucking troll.
And I was like, oh, let me guess. Like Tasha, you're gonna like be mean to this girl Tasha, who's your boss, because you're mad because you feel like you don't have enough power. But then Tasha's like mean and
I'm trying to think when
chapter five. Yeah, it's when they all pick on him after school when Iris is like begging them to stop. I hope they all die.
Now Iris I guess gets spared.
Wait, and that's forgot, that's before, is that before or after the car wash?
Before. Long before.
Yeah, the car wash, I was more cynical, but anything with Iris, I felt like that was his, like, maybe she was his, like, manic pixie dream girl.
That's
like,
what
that
I
was his
like.
Connection to humanity. Yeah. Like, that's the only thing keeping him from slipping off the edge. But
it's like, it's after school. He's just walking Iris home. They jump out of a bush and they force him to sing the Star Spangled Banner.
It is,
and
like,
Iris is, and they're, like, pushing him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And Iris is begging them to stop. Ricky is begging them to stop. So at that point, it was like, I don't know what their deal is, but I hate them and I'm totally on your side now.
Yeah. And ultimately, his prank is just like inundating somebody with phone calls. So he's not like a terrible kid.
Yeah. It's not like your mom should have had an abortion. I hope you get raped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, his accent.
What I felt like it might be
in today.
The first place. Yeah.
Well, I mean, in his accidental fuck-ups are the things that actually cost more damage to Tasha, ruining the school computer, ruining the camera. Like, his actual, like, out for revenge is actually less harmful than his accidental mistakes.
Yeah, he's the car, pretty low-key, like, my way of getting back at you is to be like,
if you're weird, call Tasha.
Yeah.
Which is like so weird.
Like he doesn't such say like weird threaten prank. Her. He doesn't say anything. It's just like, if you're downtrodden, call Tasha.
Feeling low, call Tasha after midnight.
If everybody hates you, call Tasha.
And he's like, I guess that leaves just me. I'm gonna call Tasha. Well, like, as I was reading this too,
poor Ricky.
Because this book is so inundated with the personality of Ricky and he's telling us this story, I was like, I believed it less. And I was just like, what's the real story here? I'm like, really? All these people fucking hate you? All these people are bullying you?
It's a bit of a Fight Club situation.
Yes. I was like, what's the deal? I was like, there's gotta be something else.
Like,
going
then
on.
In your mind, it's like this fictional story. You're like, all right, but what's the real story?
The unreliable.
It's, like, it's a fictional story.
I'm like, I don't buy it. I'm like, I got too many people lying to me and I got not enough time. So okay, tell me what the truth is.
I don't care what you say about this person's narrative. Yeah. Tell me what the deal is.
Like, what's the angle? What is this?
What's yeah, what if it's like, yeah, the whole creep thing is in his imagination and he's like, he's just snapped and it is this like school shooter metaphor kind of.
It did feel like a metaphor to me.
It did feel like that.
Well, almost, yeah, because that ending comes so abrupt that I feel like it could have gone so many different ways. Actually, and I really do like the ending. Maybe it was kept short because they just wanted you to the shock of, and what's again? Sorry, I keep referencing
it's like
the
twist.
Yeah, I keep referencing the TV show, but like they just uploaded a like a copy of it from like JetX, like the Fox Kids kind of thing, or it wasn't Fox, Nickelodeon. It wasn't Nickelodeon though. I forget what JetX was. It was like a Saturday morning or something thing. But like the commercial break, the last commercial break happens where it's like. He's like standing up. He's like, don't eat the cookies. And then they're like, but you'll become their slaves. And he's like, everybody have the cookies. And then Iris is like, Ricky, no. And then it like fades to commercial and then fades back. And then he's like, sorry, Iris. But what is it? Like when in Rome, like it was like when he says something like that, he's like, things are changing around here and then eats the cookies. And then he like
get
takes
on
off
board
his glasses.
Or get run over. Yeah. Something like that.
He like takes off his glasses, like looks demonically and then it cuts to credits. But it's like,
oh, that's so much worse.
But the like commercial break to literally just like three lines and then it goes directly to credits. I was like, that's a weird place for a commercial.
That is
break.
A weird thing too, where it's like, that's I'm going to do this thing and then break. And then it's like, I'm still doing this thing, which is very we're on board. Yeah, it's like, okay, nothing's changed.
Well, yeah, because in this, like, there's no mention of, like, Iris's fate.
No.
So it does seem even more of a metaphor in the TV show that Iris would be like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, sorry. And then, like, I'm full on evil now. I'm taking off my glasses. I own you all. I'm shooting up the school. That is totally what it sounds like in the TV show.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely has that vibe where he like takes off his glasses and just kind of like looks. Although they didn't have the budget to like make like have like some lizard eyes appear, you know?
Right.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And we're back.
I also really love how the creeps look like on the book cover.
Yeah.
These like cool ass like purple dinosaur things. Whereas in the TV show they're like weird bloated lizard bananas.
Aww.
Like they're all yellow and orange. And
oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
These are cool.
Not cool.
I remember thinking like I loved the cover of this book as a kid. And I liked that they were wearing like cool 90s kid clothes.
Oh yeah, that's the most fun part of it. It's just like a backwards hat.
Yeah, the backwards hat.
Long sleeve shirt and a jean vest.
Yeah. Get me some of those cool 90s clothes.
Yeah, and the backwards green hat coupled with the like yellow and orange striped long sleeve shirt. The striped shirts were so early to mid 90s.
And specifically,
high waisted jeans.
The main creep in the image, he has a button down open.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps chambray, perhaps it's a blue.
Who could say?
And he's got a long sleeve white shirt, and the sleeve is like open of the outside shirt, and you can see his white sleeve underneath.
Oh yeah,
and that to me is so fucking 90s. I'm like, oh my god, this dude.
Yeah. He is wearing a long sleeve white crew neck shirt.
Yeah, like a
yeah.
I was thinking it was a t-shirt, but I wasn't seeing the collar at the wrist.
No, I didn't notice the collar either until right now.
It's like intense.
How epic would this be for like four people to do this for Halloween?
That's amazing. That would be amazing. Well, we got three.
Yeah.
Well, plus that, I mean, that fourth one is just in the booth going, bah!
I mean, that guy could just be like a head that's attached to the front.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'd be so good. That'd be so good.
Okay.
So I vote Steven as the main guy with the button down open.
I'll take the white crew neck.
Okay. Color. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I be striped shirt backwards hat?
You can, and I'll be Lady Creep.
You be Lady Creep.
I'll be Brenda.
Brenda, who gets like no page time. She gets one line where she's like, "Master, you must put the infinity seeds," and then he like
infinity seeds.
Or what are they called? Identity seeds. Sorry, I have a tough time with names.
Tying in this with Marvel.
It's been a while. Actually, it's been a while. You know what? Seeds. We're back.
That's really funny.
Identity seeds, and then he like trips and falls, and she's like, "I've got more," and then that's her moment of glory.
Yeah. Wart kind of like carried the bully side of things.
Wart
is the worst.
The hero?
Easily.
Oh.
Do you want to know what the kids look like in the TV show?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't remember like which ones are which, but then there was like your kind of classic, like kind of overweight, chubby, bully kid.
That would be Wart, right?
I can't remember from memory which one was which.
Okay.
And then there was like a Buzz from like Home Alone.
Yes.
Bro.
Yes. You know, yes.
And then yeah, so there's that too, and I don't remember what, and then Brenda was like just a black girl, so yeah,
and then other person unknown.
Yeah, okay. I don't remember what the other one looked like, but
interesting.
I like their commitment to diversity on Goosebumps.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Even though the quality of Goosebumps TV, like if you go back and watch that show, because it was on Netflix for a while, and it was just the production quality of it's so bad. Like, Are You Afraid of the Dark was actually a well-made Nickelodeon show, but
yeah.
Goosebumps mm-hmm. is, like, half the episodes are shot at the same empty factory in Vancouver, even though that Ryan Gosling is in a Goosebumps TV show.
Well, Canadian.
Yeah, yeah. So they just, any kids in Vancouver just hang out around this factory, and it's going to be a house, it's going to be a toy factory, it's going to be a...
Yeah,
like, it's on. I think they're still on Netflix. They're fun to watch, like for Halloween. Like, I think at a Halloween, like Halloween parties since I moved to LA, like people will like throw them up in the background. Yeah. But also,
that's funny.
Yeah, budget was not good.
Did you watch the Animorphs show?
Yeah, that was even worse.
That was bad. I remember being
because early CGI.
Disappointed. Yes.
Yeah, it was early CGI, so that was really bad. Did you ever get any of the toys from Taco Bell?
There were toys at Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Taco Bell had
toys.
Yeah. They had toys at Taco Bell. They had like a little Yerk keychain.
Oh my God.
They had like the Andalite ship that was like a flashlight.
And then
they had a box where it was like half of it was like Axe, and it was like half his human face and half his, and so like you turn it to the side to like switch.
Oh my God.
What about the hawk? What about the fuckable hawk?
There's no fuckable hawk. I mean,
as a toy.
Not as a toy. Like,
who cares?
I know. I know.
Boring.
Oh. Poor Tobias.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is going to be a great Halloween costume. I
think it's going to be a great Halloween costume.
I think we're really going to hit at whatever party.
But there's going to be one person that's going to would see us and they'd be like, oh shit.
We will make one person's
year.
We're going to
blow their fucking mind.
Yeah. That's always my favorite with Halloween costumes, when it's like something that's super specific like that, but it's something that you may not even like. Most people probably wouldn't even remember this, but it's just when you see it, it's just like such a specific.
Yes. Like where you get that like, oh, moment.
Yeah. Whoa, are great. You this?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, I am.
Yes. Why, yes, I am.
This was for you.
This was just for you.
I didn't know it was for you, but I knew it was for someone.
Yeah.
Well, are there any things that we're like, gotta get it out about this book?
I will say I loved the part where the lunch ladies are like, we're sick of everybody knocking our mac and cheese. We make it from real noodles. We make it with actual cheese.
When they said actual macaroni, I was like, huh? Like, what's not real macaroni?
Well, like, it's not Kraft.
Because they were like, we use real cheese. We use real macaroni. I was like,
no, they're just saying like we've cooked macaroni.
Okay.
It's not like it's just something we got from a package.
We put it together.
Use real cheese, and then all these fucking ungrateful kids. It's like the real hero of this story is all those lunch ladies slaving over that mac and cheese. Nobody eats.
That was a cool moment. I like that a lot.
And I like how they're like, okay, sit down. We're going to, you just eat just like
a small bowl.
Have a small bowl of mac and cheese.
Yeah.
I was bummed that there weren't steaks with that, though, because then he was just like, I had a big breakfast, bye. And yeah, then like walked away
before they could serve
him. I was like, oh, I wanted to see him like.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if like the creeps, because the creeps never like attack anybody.
They're just standing in the hallway.
That is really funny.
What are they doing?
They're like, Commander, you didn't. And he's like, well, I put all the identity seeds in the infinity mac and cheese. And nobody identity eats cheese. The mac and cheese. We put all the infinity mac and cheese and nobody eats it. I forgot. And they're like, that's okay. Well, we have this other bag.
The fact that they are so easily, they're so easily mollified by his like bullshit excuses and Iris's when she's like, I'm the second in command, which first of all, they didn't even know that position existed. And she's like, we're not going to change right now. The plan is to do your plan, which they're like, okay, great. Like,
they all become so reasonable when they're creeps. They're like, oh, Commander, we didn't know it was you. Whereas, like, when they're bullies, they're like,
because it's only they really needed a person like Ricky to succeed. Like, because what if these creeps have gone to hundreds of other planets, like a Guardians of the Galaxy 2 style situation, trying to get these seeds to get, but like, they're the like wimpiest, creepiest aliens, and they haven't been able to succeed. But until somebody like Ricky comes along, who basically is just like falls prey to their plan,
yep,
like, yeah, like, what if the
That's
this
very funny.
That they needed Ricky to succeed. They needed a real creep.
And so I guess, you know what? That, like, he fulfills his own, like, prophecy there. And he gets to, like, have purpose, which I guess.
The actual commander is just, like, broke down on Mars going.
He keeps trying to, like, use a jack on his, like, little spaceship. Yeah, like, ding, 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 ding. And he's like, I don't have a spare.
Ships pass by. He's like, oh, geez, everyone drives so close to in this lane.
He's like, I miss home.
Okay. Who should I? Oh, my transmitter's broken.
Oh, and then like hours of him like
down
doing
the earth creeps. Because they're all so reasonable as creeps.
Oh. And then smash cut to Ricky being like, let's do this, man. I'm your commander. With his little hat.
Okay, we're a very reasonable people, so we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I wish we could see what Ricky. I want to see the sequel to this. Because he did. Arlstein did make sequels. I kind of wish they would have made a sequel to this one.
Yeah, because now
we saw Slappy,
the leader of the creeps,
a thousand times.
Yeah.
So is he going to be a very like benevolent
leader of the creeps? That's leader such a creeps. Great.
That's a great.
That's
name.
A great title. Like in the vein of like the kind of Tarzan and the like. John Carter of Mars, like those kind of pulp books, like like leader of the creeps, and then like what would be like the if this was like a trilogy, leader of the calling all creeps, leader of the creeps, and like.
Creeps Unite.
I was thinking Creeps Unite. Or like
Revenge of the Creeps.
Revenge of the Creeps.
That's too easy.
Well, it could be like the Fall of the Creeps or like
Army of the Creeps.
Kingdom of the Creeps.
Kingdom of the Creeps.
Yeah.
Planet of the Creeps.
Yeah. Planet of the Creeps. And then Return of the Planet of the Creeps. Mm-hmm. And then Revenge of the Planet
and
of the
then
Creeps.
And Rise of the Creeps.
Rise of the Creeps. Before the Planet of the Creeps.
Yeah. We got a whole series here. This is awesome.
Let's delete this and then
point,
we'll make it.
Like, the planet is Creeps. Steven, what are other parts of the book that you need addressing?
I was actually going to ask earlier, did your parents make you lunch as a kid, or did you eat school lunches? Because that was if Ricky knew one thing, he knew people's eating habits in the cafeteria.
That's true.
He was like, look, nobody eats the mac and cheese.
Do you remember the part where it was like, everyone's required to eat the cafeteria?
That was weird. Yeah. That was
Which
weird.
Is like a real lazy justification.
Yeah. Arlstein's like, okay.
It was just like his response to a note from an editor who was like, why do they have to be in there?
Or
they
him.
Have to.
He might have like a very literal brain like me where it's like, people are going to be asking this question. I better say how they know.
Tidy that up.
Gonna, yeah.
In middle school.
You're like, this is actually a complicated question.
Okay. So, it is.
This is a three part.
So it all began. So in elementary school, I used to eat lunch really slow and I didn't really have any friends. And I would just sit there and like watch other people eating, and then I wouldn't eat my food. And then so one of the lunch aides made me sit at a table by myself with the fifth graders when I was in third grade so that I wouldn't get distracted.
What?
And then
what
I
do
just,
you mean distracted?
Because like they were like, oh, you won't be as interested in like the fifth grade kids as you are in like kids in your own grade. So they made me sit with them, but then I still was really slow and didn't eat my food. And then I just had to basically be literally alone every lunch by myself because the aides would just stand there and watch me and like try to make me eat my food.
Oh my God, what?
And then I wouldn't eat my food, and then I would go home and try and flush my sandwich down the toilet.
Oh my God.
But it had alfalfa sprouts in it, and then it clogged the toilet, and then the toilet was just like floating with alfalfa sprouts.
I didn't realize I opened up a...
Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
It's always like, you never know when you're going to strike gold with Kelly.
And then my mom one day was just like, why didn't, like, if you didn't have to bring it home and then flush it, like, she's like, you could just throw it away. And I was like, oh no. And then middle school, I was still a slow eater, didn't really eat my food. And then in high school, I like decided I really liked food, and I would eat the lunch my mom packed for me during second period. And then during lunchtime, I would buy a teriyaki chicken bowl and eat it for lunch.
Hell yeah. Oh my God.
Jack in the Box teriyaki chicken bowl?
No, they were like, the school would have like a special little thing that was like beef teriyaki bowls, chicken teriyaki. And then after track practice, I would eat a $5 Little Caesars hot and ready.
Hell yeah. I love it.
Cool. What about you, Stephen?
They had lunch tickets in elementary school where my mom never made my lunch. I'm just calling her out on that.
This one's for you, mom.
I'm putting my mom on blast.
Well, if anything, no, I mean, she was a hardworking single mother, you know, like had to put in those hours, like,
listen,
you know,
Steven's mom have it all.
Yeah. No, in retrospect, it's like, I get it. You know, it's just that like school food is bad at public schools. Like,
it's not.
And like just eating like microwaved pizza where you'd have to like, it'd be like microwaved in these little trays.
So
you have to
soft.
Like fold it out inverted. I remember I started eating mustard on pizza in elementary school because it was just like, it's the only way to make this like palpable.
Wow.
Yeah, mustard on pizza?
Yeah.
Because you give it like a
It's got a nice like
flavor.
Tangy,
yeah, it's
you
like
know?
Sour. It's kind of like, ooh, what's going to happen?
Yeah, yeah.
You dance like it was like your salsa.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of want to have pizza with mustard right now, actually, now that I think about it. But, and then... The switch over for us was like around sixth grade, actually, was when they put milk in bags.
So I remember the bag of milk.
Yeah. So for like junior high school and then the last of elementary school is these bags of milk.
These square bags of milk.
It was like, hey, we're going to give all these kids water balloons.
Yes.
Because I don't remember kids like throwing cartons of milk, but it was like all of a sudden now that there's bags of milk, it's like, pop it. You've got yourself a grenade. And that happened it happened to me. One time I got hit with one of those covered in.
Oh, no. Was it like regular or chocolate or strawberry?
It was chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk.
Yeah. It's fine. There were school uniforms in junior. For some reason, in my junior high school, is the only time I ever wear a school uniform, which I still actually have my El Rancho.
Oh, my God.
Polo that I still bust out every once in a while. I must have either been a large kid or like I just got extra large shirt because it like that shirt still fits me now. Like, fine. It's actually big on me now, which is weird. But
look was popular though, to wear things that were too big.
Yeah, that's right.
So I remember being like, ew, fitted, yuck.
Yeah.
And like wanting a big big shirt.
That's true. Baggy was totally in the 90s. But yeah, it was like school lunch tickets. And then, yeah, at least in this era, it was definitely just like the gross pizza. Or there was like the fancy French bread pizza that came in the bag.
Oh my God.
But it had like the little tiny pepperonis that were like.
They were like one pepperoni that was cut into four.
Yeah.
They were like a triangle almost.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing.
You guys have better memories than me.
Oh, what did you? Yeah, what did you?
I mean, just I can't remember as well. Like, bagged milk sounds familiar, but we
bagged milk. Like,
we milk in bags. We didn't have any kind of cafeteria because it was.
Oh, wow.
So, but you guys
were. Where'd you grow up?
San Diego. But you guys were in Southern California and didn't.
Yeah, I was in public school. We had an outdoor cafeteria, like underneath, like I don't know, an awning, awning.
Ours too.
Sloped
too. Junior high, but I truly can't remember what the situation was in high school. But it was like not. It didn't seem like normal cafeteria food. Like you lined up as though you were just getting takeout.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
and then you would choose what item you wanted.
Yeah. I can't remember anything about it.
But I was going to say.
I'm having a crisis.
You're like, Mom, are there any pictures of me in elementary, in high school?
Who am I?
I'm a sleeper agent.
No, I was going to say, did anyone think that it was going to be a food fight at the end?
Yes. I thought it was just going to culminate in this huge food fight. Because the second he gets beamed with that chocolate thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, is it just like a food fight? And then they're going to be like, bleh, no one's going to eat
it. But that's how he saves the day.
Yeah.
I mean, the ending of this book I really enjoy.
You know what? I would say. For a twist, like, I was kind of like,
I didn't see it coming.
I didn't see it coming.
I did not see this ending coming.
And it and the thing was, it still tracked with his character. And it made sense that, like, he would be, like, because he's been so downtrodden and so, like, made fun of and just dejected this whole time.
Yeah, he doesn't get to save the day at the end.
No, he gives in because that'll be better for him.
And by the end, because of everything and because, like, his last ditch effort, the response, he's like, don't eat the cookies. And everybody's response is to throw food at him.
Yeah.
By that point, I'm like, fuck them all. You did what you could, Ricky.
Yeah.
Go with God.
Yeah.
You're not saving society. Yeah. Society deserves to be.
Yeah. Burn it
turned
down.
Turned into creeps.
Yeah. Lead them all to a better day.
Yeah.
In this new creep society.
Yeah.
Creep kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Rise yeah, kingdom the creeps. Of the creeps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Army
yeah. Sick.
Army of the creeps. Leader of the creeps.
Creeps of the creeps.
Leader of the pack. Vroom, vroom.
Oh, that reminded me. I think would be a fun, like, you know, because sometimes in certain, I mean, like, art, like, I can't even think of an example of this, but, like, I just started hearing Mickey, but instead of Ricky, like, oh, Mickey, you're so, but, like, playing over it as everyone's, like, turning into creeps and he's, like, looking all evil, like, I've done it, you know, like.
That would be so cool.
But it's, like, playing kind of, like, ironically uh-huh. over
yes.
it. Which
like
I think would be,
discordant.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, like, I'm. It that gives me like a very like Zombieland feeling.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sick. Yeah.
It was really cool to cover a book called Calling All Creeps when our podcast name is Teen Creeps.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was exciting. Is there anything in your notes that
I mean,
you missed?
No, I mean I think I just wrote Twilight Zone Light.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
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 For kids. That.
But I mean this was it my is, Twilight Zone. Because I didn't see Twilight Zone zone-y. Until I was an adult. So mm-hmm.
same here.
Yeah, because it's very like, yeah, the like downfall of mankind is its inability to sympathize and be compassionate.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah. Had it coming, asshole, which is just the thesis statement of Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Had
and
it
like,
coming, asshole.
It's almost his, like, it's everyone's inability to empathize because, like, even yeah. him at the end, when he's like given the choice to like empathize with these people or just be like, fine, fuck it, burn it to the ground.
Yeah, you choose to be like, I accept my life of pain to save you or
yeah.
fuck you all, I'm your leader.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought of another ending that he eats all the cookies himself.
I thought that was going to happen too.
Oh.
When he starts trying to shove them out, I was like, oh damn, he's going to just be a creep.
He makes the sacrifice. Yeah.
That would be a good ending too.
What if
Arl? It's still Twilight Zone-y.
Yeah, I was like, what if this was like Clue, where like Arl Stein had just written like 10 endings in his editor? Because that's why the ending's so short.
Like,
because
pick an ending.
He's like, look, I just rewrote the last page, and I wrote 10 different versions. So, and the editor is like, I like 2 and 7, and he's like, all right, okay. And then he like goes home.
He's like, we'll do like 70% of them 2. We'll do like 40%. Or, wait, that's not over 100%. Whatever. Math. Some of them are
yeah,
two,
yeah.
some are 7, and then the rest are like.
Long story short, math, it works.
It works.
Oh, that would be so cool.
It'd be so cool if like, what yeah, if like just until now we're like, additions. I really liked the ending because of this. And then we're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That's such an amazing idea.
That would be very cool.
I mean, he did do Choose Your, I don't know if you guys are ever going to do one of his Choose Your Own Adventure Goosebumps books. Because those
that
are really
awesome. That might be pretty
awesome.
Cool. So a couple people have recommended those.
Those are
like,
fun,
do
too.
Like, do a Choose Your Own Adventure.
Oh, I haven't seen.
Yeah, so it would be kind of interesting
or
for us to talk about.
Yeah.
Demand.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Order?
Yeah. I haven't seen that order.
Donate to Patreon.
I haven't seen that hostage takeover.
We'll do anything for you guys.
help
us. I will say I liked this book a lot more than The Abominable Snowman of Pasadena.
So much more.
Yeah, you guys sounded like you were put through the ringer with
that one. That book was a real nightmare.
It fucking sucked.
This book, like, I actually cared about what was happening. That book, I was like so far removed from caring. Like, it was like,
yeah,
I was seeing through like 5 different like panes of glass. That's how like far away. I was like, I don't care.
Producer at that point.
Yeah. But yeah, it's funny though because my friend, just my podcast co-host, just moved to Pasadena, And I think that was the one Goosebumps book she remembered. And so I actually bought it for her after listening to your episode.
Oh my gosh.
Like, because the two things kind of happened at the same time. And I was like, that's weird. So I guess I should follow through with this. It's like, I haven't actually asked her if she's read it yet, but
she's like, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
actually,
not gonna work together.
I'm actually leaving the podcast.
I'm taking it with me.
Really burn this bridge.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. I should ask her what she thought of it.
Mm. Yeah.
But I mean, it was $2, so I feel like I didn't.
Yeah, no, know. And that's like
$2 to lose a friendship. Not, yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
You know what? That's real cheap.
Yeah, yeah, it's cheap. Yeah. Overall, I'd say it's a fine Goosebumps book. Yeah. I liked the ending a lot. Didn't see it coming, which is usually for these Arlstein books, page 15. We're
that's
like,
true.
I know that's this true. Person's a killer.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because it's. It's not really a mystery to be solved. It's more just like a suspense for what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a character journey.
You know what? It's just a character-driven slice of life.
You know Breaking Bad?
Like, it's so grounded.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is a lizard turns into a human boy and has to...
Yeah, this is like
cook
a...
meth.
Yeah.
Like a classic, like character arc of seeing, like, someone just decay, yeah, over time. Tony Soprano,
the real anti-hero.
Ricky Beamer.
Ricky Beamer, anti-hero.
Anti-hero. Great.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we did it.
Yeah,
I'm proud of us all. We survived, really, calling all creeps.
Yeah, we persevered. Steven, thank you so much for joining.
No,
us.
Thank, yay, you guys for having me. This was so much fun.
Yeah. You're welcome back anytime.
I'd love to.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. Obviously, check out My Favorite Murder if you haven't. It's a teen YA come to life because it's real events, which is...
except for adults.
Yeah, yeah, except for adults. And the Purrcast, where I talk to people about their cats with my friend Sarah, and who we just had Aaron Whitehead on, who's been a guest on Teen Creeps.
Yay.
And then I also do a podcast called See Jurassic Right, where I talk to a bunch of people about their memories as a child watching Jurassic Park and loving dinosaurs and all that stuff. So check that out. But yeah, and then you can always follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Stephen Ray Morris.
Awesome. Yay.
And that's Stephen with a V, right?
Hell yeah. I don't know.
R-A-Y.
I seem very like...
Fuck yeah. Yeah, you seem very like, nice.
Yeah, wow. none of this PH bullshit.
I mean, it's true. So hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Stephen with a V.
Mm-hmm.
The next
book
is a book that is a
called
book.
It's called Lifeguard.
Girl! Yeah. Okay. Next week, we are covering Point Horror number 3, The Lifeguard by Richie Tankersley Cusick.
Whose name we also have to pronounce, or always have to pronounce, very deliberately because it's not that easy. It does not roll trippingly off the tongue.
Every morning, say Richie Tankersley Cusick and Irish Rich and Irish.
You've also had a few margaritas.
Wristwatch. I have had
two margaritas.
Strawberry margaritas. Two. They were flaming. Lindsay had a purple Cadillac.
Yeah.
Two.
What were we saying?
Anyway.
Richie
Tankersley Cusick.
The lifeguard. Yep. So join us next time. We're getting that one in right under the summer wire. Like barely squeaking that lifeguard in
before Labor
summer
Day.
Ends.
Anyway.
Yeah. Join us next week and keep it creepy.
Thanks for listening to Teen Creeps. Our artwork is by James Mulholland. Our theme music is by Mike Carlson.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Teen Creeps Pod. You can direct all inquiries to teencreepspod@gmail.com. And please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're reading along with the podcast, you can now find our book schedule at teencreepspod.com. Thanks for listening and keep it creepy.